ever got any resolution to the title situation for SmackDown? Or shall we talk about the Universal Championship? Shall we talk about that?
Well, the Universal Wrestling Federation champion is Dr. Death Steve Williams. He never lost the title when they folded in 1987.
There you go.
I'm serious. I'm like, so Universal, I'm like, oh, it's Universal. Like, we're World Wrestling Federation. Now it's Universal, right?
Yes.
It's like, that's exactly what Watts did. He had Mid-South, and he's like, I got to be broader. So let me say Universal Wrestling. So it's really weird. They really took it from that.
Yeah. And the fact that, And it, of course, it also helps that the parent company for USA Network is NBC Universal. So, you know.
I legitimately, when you said SmackDown champion, I'm like, SmackDown as a champion? Who is that? Oh, yeah. Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose.
I mean, I literally already forgot.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of pro wrestling news commentary from those two great, fun, interesting marks, Al John and Stephen. Hey, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the WWE ratings and the report, the finances of the WWE. We're going to talk about the Universal Championship. We're going to talk about the Comcast Championship. We're going to talk about the Viacom Championship. We're also going to talk about the ABC Championship. I mean, there's so many championships, and maybe we'll do some Ultima Lucha in there as well. But anyway, just a quick reminder, you can support this show by liking and subscribing to our YouTube and iTunes channels and giving us those thumbs up, those 5-star reviews, and please do. And then tell people how much you love Pro Wrestling Cast, and you will be cool in our eyes, and we will appreciate it because we provide the show for you for free every single week. I was going to ask you, Steven.
Yes.
In which style would you like me to do the promo talk? Would you like for me to do it in the style of a Chris Jericho or Stone Cold Steve Austin or JR, you know, in terms of how we're going to talk about supporting our show? Because we could do
Mauro Ranallo.
Why not Mauro Ranallo? No, we're not going to do that.
He's an energetic young man, isn't he?
Energetic. No, I can't do a very good Mauro Ranallo. He's just too good, you see. You know, I'm going to, like, blow up the microphone.
He's very good. I do like him.
He is very good. But another way, that you can support Pro Wrestling Cast is by checking out our website at ProWrestlingCast.com. And there you could go ahead and click on our links to Amazon, because every time you shop using our little link, our banner, Amazon kicks us a little bit of help and the commission for things that you buy. You see, that's a Chris Jericho thing.
Right.
And it would be very good if, when you do that, just click our little banner on the top of the page, and there, that way you can go ahead and support us, a day one supporter there at Amazon, thanks to our banner at ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, we have WWE Network and WWE Shop. Go ahead and check it out every single day. Give it a clicky click, because then you'll be able to get all the gear that you want before you go to the WWE shows or the NXT live events. There you can pick up those t-shirts less than you can for the price there at the venue. WWE Network, new subscribers, like I said, for just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe to the WWE Network and never miss a SmackDown Raw pay-per-view event, live event, as well as other great special programming and high spots as well. If you love indie wrestling like we do and shoot videos, that is an excellent place for you to go ahead and check it out there using our banner. And just go ahead and bookmark ProWrestlingCast.com, and that way you can go ahead and get your shopping done and support our show. And now, continue with Pro Wrestling Cast.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
My name is Al John Goh, your co-host, lifelong wrestling fan, and broadcaster extraordinaire, hanging out with the man with the glove of injustice, the wrestling commentator, the heel commentator, and historian, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you today, sir?
Not drug tested. It's in my contract. You cannot drug test me, and I'm not on drugs, but it wouldn't matter if I was, because you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you can't, because you're a part-timer. You are a part-timer, apparently.
Yeah.
We're suffering through and just finished up the throes of the tax-free weekend here in the state of Tennessee, where we are broadcasting from. It's been crazy as all get out. I cannot believe this summer's nearly over.
Crazy.
And kids are getting ready to go back to school. I hope you're using your Amazon link there to help them for any last minute shopping. But we're going to talk about the WWE and all of their goings on, as well as some other independent wrestling news. Let's go ahead and get started with our wrestling headline news.
This week in wrestling news.
Steven, the WWE just recently had a press call with their shareholders in regards to their finances for this quarter. What can you reveal there in regards to their financial report?
It was basically a break-even type of quarter. They did make a lot of money, and they are spending a lot of money. Here's some interesting facts from it I thought were interesting, obviously. The first thing I find very, very interesting, besides, we'll get to the number of subscribers in a moment. 21.5 million spent on WrestleMania. That's how much money they spend on that. You know, it's pretty remarkable. The next thing I noticed about it is that they actually lost $5.7 million with the network over the 3 month period. That's about $1.9 million, you know, about $2 million a month. So again, everybody check this out. They hit 1.5 million subscribers. Now, I said a month or two ago when they had this conference, if they said 1.35, that everybody would freak out. They said 1.5, and everybody, the stock stayed pretty much flat. I think it was 19.7, and it stayed 19.75. So everyone's just in a holding pattern. But here's the thing. With 1.5 million active subscribers, not freebies, they lose $2 million a month. That's the deal, at least the way they have it currently set up. So, therefore, with the movie business, a dead flat kind of thing, they don't make any money. They don't lose as much as they were. With house shows sort of come see, come saw in the 4,000 a show range, which is making a little money, all of the money that keeps them cool is from the USA Network. All of it that keeps them making money. And they have to keep USA happy. That's why they're at 3 hours. That's why we had this big draft. You know, and SmackDown is the reason we had this draft, because USA said SmackDown's not cool. From what I understand, 2.7 million like they did Tuesday on the first, you know, non-draft SmackDown, edition where it's just a draft like the first one was. 2.7 million is fine. I think anything below 2.5 million starts to be a problem. So they have to keep it where it's at. We can discuss whether or not they're going to be able to achieve that and what we actually think. I don't really know what to say about the earnings call other than they are. It'd be like if you took a history test in the middle of the semester and you made a B- or a C+. That's kind of where we're at with everything. So I'm wondering, though, Hal John, how do we add all these new subscribers to get to that coveted 2 and 3 million mark?
It's hard. You know, I work for a business that has a lot of overseas dealings. And if you are not vigilant, if you don't have people on the ground with vested interest, you know, in trying to grow your business, because let's face it, you know, the U.S. market, I believe right now, is topped out with as many subscribers as they're going to get. You know, they've already have promoted for an entire year, you know, the network after WrestleMania 30 or before WrestleMania 30 to have people sign on for the network. You know, people like you and I are network subscribers since day one. You know, that's really cool that we're there on the ground floor and we still continue to find value in the app, in the network. But after you have your hardcore subscriber base, you know, they're gonna have to work overseas in order to gain any kind of increments. Now, in the financial report, you can see how much the overseas business actually does. And the Latin American business is just abysmal. Absolutely abysmal.
Right.
You would think it would be more, you know, but that's why there's such a push on Latin superstars. That's why there's a push on Japanese superstars and emerging markets like India and China, because that's where they see the most growth potential. And that is exactly what other companies are doing in order to grow their business. They have a rabid fan base. How do we get them involved? How do we get them, you know, happening? And it's not just for their business. It's like that for every other entertainment enterprise out there. Disney ESPN and ABC, Marvel, all those people. And look, you know, Disney just opened up a new Shanghai theme park.
Right.
You know, they just opened up other categories, and Marvel is reaching out with introducing more ethnic, broader based characters in their comic books. So they're going to be doing the same type of thing. WWE is taking, you know, everybody understands, in order for you to grow your business at least 15-20%, you have to work very hard. And the people they have there working on those TV deals and live event deals, they're going to have to. They're going to have to work very hard, and they're going to, WWE has to monitor them to make sure that they're just not pissing their money away either, because it's so much invested into the WWE India, WWE China, WWE Japan, that they have to be vigilant and push for those subscribers somehow, some way. And I hope that there is more international business. The more international business they do, and the more they prime themselves to be a universal, a global phenomenon, they have to do more overseas tours. They have to have a smaller touring group in order to visit those places and get that get those results, Stephen, don't you think?
Well, the UK tour averaged 8,000 a show, which is double what they've been doing. Now, they don't go all the time, but you're exactly right. They just did their Japan tour, and you know, they had Nakamura and Asuka on the shows and had some really cool matches and things like that. So, you know, that's not a bad idea. I think the heart of the matter, though, is the United States, the domestic, because I just don't see how you can add 1 million people outside of the United States. I just, things would have to change. And again, this is a platform they're very ahead of their time doing. I understand that they have a digital platform in 2014. That is very early to go that route. I just find it funny when I see people on Twitter go, I wonder when they're going to have Raw and SmackDown on the network. If Raw and SmackDown are on the network, they have to close down.
Yeah.
They don't have to close down, but their show will look very different. I mean, it'll be smaller, like, not like, it'll be smaller.
It'll
looking.
Look like NXT.
it'll be NXT.
It's gonna be Ring of Honor, folks. That's what it's gonna look like.
No, it won't look like that. It'll
never look like that. You know, so as we're just riffing here, we have the core demographic, the core viewing audience. We have the kids too, with licensing and their TV and deals like that. So my thing is, you know, how do you attract the people that have fallen off the way? As Vince Russo had said in a recent podcast, I think with Stone Cold, it said, you know, there's a bunch of viewers that are still out there that would like to watch wrestling, but they've lost touch with. So my thing is, I wonder if they were to move in a little bit of a different direction, if they would be able to continue to serve the kids and get back some adults. And I'm thinking if this split of the roster will help officiate some of that, because you're going to see some of these older wrestlers come back, and we're going to talk about that in the SmackDown review. But it's going to be interesting to see what type of superstars and what type of star power they're able to get. And I think that over the next few weeks, we're going to get pops and ratings and surprises by former WWE talent in order to pop a rating and to make sure that these live shows are must-see live events.
We can't miss SmackDown. Tommy Dreamer job.
I know.
No, I think you're right. But, you know, this whole idea of the new era, the new direction, like, which one of these guys is going to draw all this money?
I don't know.
Finn Balor? Now, I hate to agree with, you know, Russo. I hate Russo's stuff generally, but, you know, he came in there and popped it big, 97, 98, 99. Can't deny that one thing about him, no matter what he did to my beloved WCW.
Right.
But I don't see who's the big guy. I do agree with him on this. It's Finn Balor. It's Sami Zayn, the cab driver, you know, like he calls him. I don't think there's anything wrong with Sami Zayn. Like, Sami Zayn gets big pops and does good. And Billy Kidman used to do that. Like, Sami Zayn to me is like Billy Kidman in 1999 WCW. Mm-hmm. You know, once you try to put, you're going to put the title on Sami Zayn and have him cut promos like Dusty Rhodes, you know, that's what I mean. Like, there's an issue there, and they don't have the guy to replace John Cena. John Cena is leaving slowly. He's
reduced schedule.
He's taking more time off now. And I think that the TV types, the Hollywood types, feel like he could be a breakaway star like Dwayne Johnson, who makes more money than just about anybody in entertainment, right? Am I correct about that?
Yes.
You know, And people go, oh, he comes back and does wrestle. He does that to be nice. He's being nice to come back and wrestle.
He doesn't need the money.
He doesn't need to wrestle Savio Vega like he did in 1996. He just doesn't need to do that anymore. But he does it because he has a lot of honor in his life, and he's been taught to have honor through his heritage and the High Chief Peter Maivia, his grandfather. And that's the reason The Rock comes back. Now, I think John Cena could he be as big as The Rock? No, but he has the same acting ability and he has the same work ethic. So who replaces John Cena on the current roster? Go.
Nobody.
Right.
There's nobody
to replace him. Nobody, so everybody's like, book. Hey, I saw a Cesaro match. Hey, what about Zayn versus Owens was 4.5 stars? I know, dude. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking to other people. I'm talking about getting the company to make money, you know, a lot of money, because when I used to watch, I was 21 and a bunch of 21-year-olds used to watch. You know, and we were pretty cool 21-year-olds, you know. We were really cynical, cocky motherfuckers, mm-hmm. you know. And that's not who's watching. It's us. We are watching. People that go, man, I remember when Mick Foley took on Steve Austin. Okay, that's who is still watching. I guarantee for the most part. There's a women demographic. There's a young kid demographic. I get all that. But that's the hardcores. And we're not seeing that. Guys, when Steve Austin came out, man, I'm talking in the moment. I know everybody's seen the tapes. When Steve Austin came out and I was 20, I said, holy shit, that's awesome. Wrestling's awesome again. Mm-hmm. That's kind of who you need. And listen, it always happens because it always has. You know, there's a Fred Blassie that comes up. There's a Gorgeous George that comes up. There's a Muhammad Ali that comes up. You know, whomever it is, Mike Tyson, Steve Austin, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes. It just needs to happen. It's magic when it happens, and we'll just have to see it happen. But, you know, at the same time, we can talk about Will Ospreay and Jay Lethal and Okada, because I love to watch those guys' matches. But I don't see the guy that's going to make all this money and propel the entire company and business forward. I just don't see him yet. And that, I think, is why Vince McMahon has been hesitant to push almost anybody. Roman Reigns is the best guess, because you're guessing. He is the best guess to go with. I mean, at least he's big. At least he's husky. At least he's sexy. You know, he's got some of those qualities. But the crowd itself has just turned on everything. And it's a very bizarre situation. It's just really bizarre.
It didn't happen organically. It was very calculated. And then, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that leaves people shaking their head. Now, Daniel Bryan had such a great thing going for him, had the fans behind him. It's just that, you know, as one grew organically, the other one did not. The other one was pushed in our face. The other one was not.
But
and to the point where it was just undeniable that they caved.
But
you know, are we being worked, or is that the plan all along? I believe we were definitely being worked to a certain degree, because you know they really wanted to have Roman Reigns out front, you know, and that was the plan, and they continued that plan to this year. You know, everything derailed last year for WrestleMania, and like I said, they had to put their plans on pause and scramble to get new storylines and new matchups happening for WrestleMania, which, you know, this WrestleMania had absolutely hardly any storyline going into it.
It was a brutal time for them in this WrestleMania. Hopefully we'll remember that as time passes on. But again, I wanted to say this about Daniel Bryan. He did not move any numbers at the house shows. Right. He did not move a lot of merchandise. He did not move TV ratings. That's just not somebody they're going to take a chance with.
Mm-hmm.
I know the crowd liked him, but that's the weirdness. The crowd and the money made, it's not actually matching up. It's very strange.
And I would say that maybe he would have if the company really gave him a full endorsement.
But I mean, what more could they have done to give him 2 WrestleMania 4-star matches and a title win in the crowd? And I know what you're saying. They needed to push him harder. I get it. But they gave the crowd what they wanted in the end. And it didn't budge the meter.
Right.
You're saying they should have pushed him from the beginning like this lightning strikes twice, booming monster guy, right?
I think they waited a little too long. And then the merchandise that they had, I don't think some of the merchandise was put out there in a wider, you know, degree. I mean, I think that they did have some merchandise, but not to the extent of even a Roman Reigns or even a John Cena for that matter in terms of merchandise. But then again, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but you just never know. And if the record states, at the end of the day, you look at what they did do, and if he didn't move the needle enough, then it's kind of like, well, if he didn't start generating a little more traction on the merchandise side of things early going, then why should we, you know, make more? And then, of course, if the push and if the TV character was treated a little bit better, maybe they could have sold more.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like one is leading the other, and you don't really know. And it just seemed to me like it was overall just a little bit of a half-ass push, therefore yielding half-ass results. So, I mean, you'll never really truly know because the company never got 100% behind Brian.
But here's why I do know. Because when he had his retirement speech, it didn't even pop a big number. That's telling. I mean, it didn't pop a number. They announced it beforehand for once. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it did 3.5 million for the quarter hour like normal. I'm saying that Daniel Bryan is a wrestling fan's wrestler. Hulk Hogan is a worker.
Right.
And I'm saying that because you guys know how much I hate Hulk Hogan. But a worker is different than a wrestler, you know. A worker works the crowd. A wrestler is a great wrestler. A worker walks out and you go, man, I remember this, I remember that. And he starts manipulating the scenario.
Right.
He doesn't have to do any wrestling even. That's how good a worker is.
Like Rock.
Roddy Piper. Mm-hmm. Ernie Ladd. A lot of great workers.
Yeah, even Andre, believe it or not.
Andre's an incredible worker.
You're right. Yeah, he is an incredible worker.
People think that Andre is the giant is afraid of snakes to this day. Mm-hmm. He's scared to death of snakes. You remember when they took out the snake? He's not afraid of snakes.
Yeah, he looked petrified.
He's not afraid of snakes. He's working.
Right.
That's a worker.
So having said that, I was thinking the financial report was just very telling. I knew that.
How do we get to Andre the Giant? Well, this is what the financial report said. Andre the Giant draws more money than Dolph Ziggler, it said. Shocking, I know.
The report, I knew that it was going to take them a long time. You know, I would say 3 to 5 years in order to start showing a profit on the app itself. It is very forward thinking. They did take a chance by removing the middleman. You know, I know that the WWE for me is gaining more money for me per year because I'm not just buying one pay-per-view. I'm subscribing to the network. So they're making more money for me since I've been a network subscriber. As a result, it's taking them more money to keep me on as an active subscriber because of providing content outside of old pay-per-views.
Right? And for a guy like me, they're getting less money from me who is just into their product as I've always been because I pay $120 for the year. Mm-hmm. I just bought the Scott Hall Blu-ray, but that's kind of rare now. So they don't get me for that. I used to pay the damn $50. I didn't care. Mm-hmm. Let's watch SummerSlam. It's going to be Undertaker against Edge again. And I would buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I used to spend probably $1,000 a year, and now maybe I spend $200. I mean, literally, it shifted that far.
Yeah. So it's quite a dichotomy, if you will. So I knew it was just going to take some time for them to recoup any of their money and make it a profitable venture. In the meantime, they're working on a bunch of different projects and seeing if they can do anything overseas. Having said that, as we move on, Raw and SmackDown, of course, post-Battlefront, the new era has begun. What did you think of the new era Raw? Because I thought it was a great show. Even though you're not a fan of the graphics, I actually was a big fan of how the show was presented from the announcers, the moving of the announcing table from ringside to on stage, the ring ropes, the archway, the video packaging, you know, all of that, the new camera angles. I really was a big fan of what they did on Monday Night Raw.
It was almost like a weird Smart Mark said, just do everything Smart Mark-like and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? Okay, let's, you know, change everything. You know, even down to moving the announcers, which I don't really like the announcers over there, but it showed they're changing. Let's have Corey Graves. Let's have new ropes. Let's have a new logo, even though it looks like the Ram Ford truck logo. It's like the Ram Ford truck universal title. What is this? I don't get it. You wouldn't even win a truck. That would be funny if you'd win a red truck and then you'd have to drive the truck on the ramp.
Yes, Ram Dodge Ram is saying.
Oh, it's Dodge? I'm sorry.
Yeah, bring the brand new.
Well, let me apologize humbly to Dodge. I'm sorry. I don't know anything about cars. I drive a Subaru. Funny. I drive a Subaru.
It's funny stuff. It's funny.
So what did they do? They go, Finn Balor from NXT will come out and win two motherfucking matches and pin Roman Reigns, that piece of shit, clean. And Sasha Banks is going to have a 20-minute motherfucking 4-star TV match with Charlotte and pin the motherfucker. And we're going to have jobber matches because because we never have jobber matches, and the jobber will be small and weird looking and shit, you know. So they kind of did everything like that, and it was a really entertaining show. Now I want to watch the next four shows, and then let's see.
It's funny. I get interesting remarks on the WWE website and other pro wrestling fan pages on Facebook, and they're like, I really wish that Nia Jax didn't have to come out and do a squash match. I would have much preferred her to wrestle someone that I know instead of this. And I'm like, I know how old you are making this comment. You know, you were definitely part of the Kevin Dunn toothless aggression era, you know, type of wrestling. Yeah, that where there were no jobber, you know, matches. There was no Brooklyn Brawler there for you, buddy. And then there was there's the people that they say, hey, Raw was out of sight. It was great because of all these things you just mentioned. And it's just really funny how no matter what, I think for the most part, I would say 85% fresh. If I was to rate this, 85% would say this was badass.
Yeah, it was a good show. No, it was best show since the Smarkamania where Michael Cole got eaten by Brock Lesnar.
Right.
It's the best Raw I've seen since then.
Yeah, where Michael Cole got F5'd out of his shoes.
That will be my favorite Raw for a long time.
Yeah, that is the best. I love that Raw. And I did appreciate the fact that they wanted to do a landmark thing with Finn Balor and Sasha Banks, which I think was great. Mm-hmm. That was real. Felt real emotion, especially with Sasha Banks. Felt, you know, that Finn Balor is going to be a huge moneymaker for WWE. So there were a lot of things that were happening there that was good. Establishing new talents, Nia Jax in there with the jobber match, you know, even Curtis Axel, Mr. Irrelevant, which I'm not really a big fan of, but I understand they're giving him time and hopefully that'll lead to something else for him, which is going to be really cool. Instead of Mr. Irrelevant, maybe Mr. Perfect. You just never know.
Close.
Yeah. any other thoughts on regards to that? I thought the announcing was really well done. You know, it was fresh and I like it. Once again, fresh matchups, fresh sound, fresh look overall.
Let's see what happens next week. Let's see what happens Monday on Raw. Let's see where this all goes. They knocked me out with Raw, but I mean, you can only knock me out once because you're going to have to go back in your 3-hour holding pattern. I like seeing there was another squash with, oh, what's the fat kid's name? He's real fat with bad hair and a beard. Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman? Yeah, he had a squash.
Braun Strowman had a squash match, and he's sort of like the new age Ryback. Yeah, he's like the new Ryback.
Well, you know, we have a lot of talent there that is probably not going to be there come fourth quarter, you know. I mean, you have Mark Henry, you've got Chris Jericho, you know, those people are going to go away and make room for other talent. We know this. It's going to happen.
I heard Jericho's leaving in the fall again, so yeah. we'll see if that.
Yeah, they're not going to be around for the fourth quarter. So we went from one landmark show, which everybody, you know, pretty much had a fresh rating.
Universally praised, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would too. And then you go to SmackDown, which started off with a very interesting concept. No ramp, interesting look. Shane and Daniel Bryan in the back moving toward the front where all the ring stuff happens to all the wrestlers there. Oh, and by the way, I did forget that once again, Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley announced the Universal Championship the Raw has always had a champion and now we're going to need a Universal Champion with a new belt, which is great because once again, everybody loves merchandising. Everybody loves selling new replica belts and toys.
Hey, that's old lady balls for you.
Yeah, lady balls, right? I wonder what the Universal Championship is going to look like, you know? But I hope it's not copper. I hope it actually does have gold in it.
Yeah, One Man Gang versus Terry Gordy for the Universal title.
Yes, there you go. And then SmackDown started off with an interesting...
Well, SmackDown has a Universal... Wait, which one is Universal? No, Raw's is Universal. Raw's Universal
and WWE Championship, by the way. The WWE Championship.
I already forgot. It's been 4 days.
Yes, they're on SmackDown. Great matches with the females. You know, decent action with the superstars there. The six-pack challenge I thought was very good. Looking for a number one contender for Dean Ambrose's title, which was very good. Interesting moments with Apollo Crews to shine during that. AJ Styles, John Cena, good stuff there. However, they don't have tag teams. They don't have cruiserweights. They don't have anybody else vying for a title other than Miz, you know, which was interesting. Non-title match with Randy Orton, which was also more the same from Battleground. But where do you go? You know, the divas don't fight for anything, and you need for me to be invested in these characters. They need to be fighting for something, whether it's a number one contendership. And I pose this to you. The show was lackluster, Stephen, in my opinion. I didn't feel like they didn't do a very good job of making landmark statements that Raw did. Once again, treating the bastard child SmackDown like exactly that, a show that was irrelevant, that did not matter. And how are you going to say after the draft and after the heightened anticipation for the first New Era SmackDown Live post-draft edition and come out so short with a show that maybe 50 to 60% fresh, you know, and yeah. Some people dug it and you just didn't have any landmark happenings at all. No hotshot title change, which I didn't think they were going to do anyway, but at least landmark announcements. You had the Divas come out in a type of Mouseketeer roll call, which was absolutely pathetic. I mean, it was, why are they even there? They're not fighting for a championship. So what are they fighting for?
I'll tell you one thing.
What are they fighting for? Absolutely nothing. They should say, well, maybe there's a possibility of doing something that a whole lot of podcasts didn't even think of. Interpromotional pay-per-views. Think about it. The opportunity for them to go in and maybe it, as a SummerSlam, they already have one interpromotional match happening there, you know, with Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar from two different brands. Maybe that they will struggle, the women will struggle for a contendership match to go up against the women's champion at SummerSlam. Maybe the tag teams there on that show will go up and say, this will be the only time until, you know, Survivor Series and, you know, several months from now for them to work their way to another, to bring the title home to SmackDown. This is their one opportunity. Don't let us down. We want you to fight for your choice to represent SmackDown in this cross promotional pay-per-view event, Steven.
Okay, now what's the girl's name? Eva Marie?
Yes, Eva Marie with a voiceover guy.
Prepare to be tantalized.
She has huge titty. That's what I've noticed from SmackDown mostly.
Yes, okay.
Also from SmackDown, I will say this. They come out, I had to do that. Your thing was so well put together. I was like,
I tell you, Eva Marie is very, very gorgeous.
I didn't say that. I was just making...
She can't talk, which is the reason why she had a voiceover, but that's great.
When she wins the title from Sasha Banks,
oh Lord,
you know, remember this comment, you know, and you'll remember who this is. This is the WWFE.
Yeah.
When they started, in all seriousness, although that really will happen, in all seriousness, when they started the show and they had everybody surrounding the ring, it looked like they had like 14 people on the whole roster.
Right.
I mean, it really looked bad. And then when they had Raw, they had everyone on the ramp. It looked a lot fuller. I mean, the women came out. I know you like Carmella a lot. I just think they got a really weak roster. I mean, that's a really weak women's roster. I don't even know where they're coming from with that. That looks like the old women's roster to me. Like, just, you know, you got the Sable is what's her face, Eva Marie, and you know, Ivory's, you know, Becky Lynch because she can work. And I mean, it just looks like the old. I don't know if that's how they went about doing it. So you have this incredible moment with Sasha Banks and Charlotte, you know, just a straightforward, great 4-star TV match. And then, and they work snug, which I love about them both. And then you go over on SmackDown and it's like, you know, they've retrogressed back to that, but they really have that sort of thing. You know, I thought her intro is good with the guy doing the dumb voiceover.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously want to get in on the idea that she's hated.
Yes.
You know, Randy Orton top babyface. Holy shit. When do we start counting all the money is the question with Randy Orton and top babyface. They might buy a boat. You know, they might buy a boat for every wrestler this quarter. That's how much money they're going to make. I mean, with Randy Orton as the top babyface, could that go wrong?
I'm a big fan of Randy Orton.
He's 53 years old.
He can do it. So, you know, once again, Apollo Crews shines during the Battle Royal and then moves on to the six-pack challenge, which was Dolph Ziggler defeating Wyatt, Cena, Styles, Apollo Crews, and Baron Corbin. Interesting, Dolph Ziggler going to be is the number one contender for Dean Ambrose's belt, face versus face.
Right.
Interesting. Lynch defeating Natalya, which was great. Love the girls' match. Orton defeating The Miz in a non-title match.
Bad. Bad news. Don't do that. Why did you do that? That's stupid booking and makes me mad. Right
yep,
there.
Yep.
Orton
Orton's got to get over. We got to give Orton a big win. Well, hell, Randy Orton, who is that? I've never seen him on their show before. We have to give him a big win to get him over. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and in the meantime, you devalue the U.S. or the Intercontinental Championship that the Miz is holding.
Then you devalue Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and what's his face from Sweden or whatever. You've devalued all those guys, just like I devalued him. I did that to be funny, to show you how awful it is to devalue somebody. They're retrogressing on that brand.
That's horrible.
Listen, why did we do the brand split? Why did we do the brand split?
Why do we do the brand split? Because
USA got mad at the low ratings of SmackDown, and this is what you put on. You got 2.7 million. I get, and that's, you know, I think that's 400,000 less. Watch, they're going to be at 2.4 next week. The next show is going to do 2.4 million. Let's bet.
No bets.
You're tired of playing those Ingve tracks. I get it.
No. We'll continue to play Ingve. I don't give a damn. I'm just dumbfounded. Oh. I'm dumbfounded. By the way, Shelton Benjamin coming back to WWE SmackDown.
Well, then bring his ass out and have him wrestle. He's coming up. You show me a clip.
And then also Rhino.
Hold on. There's going to be so much money swimming around that SmackDown locker room soon from all the money that they make from these house shows with Rhino facing Randy Orton in the main event that they won't know what to do with all the money. They might have to put it in big fucking sacks like with Santa Claus.
I don't get it. Heath Slater showed up as being the number one free agent. By the way, I have to say this. I have to say it.
Okay.
Heath Slater is gold.
He's great on the mic. He is great on the mic.
So good. Yeah,
he's great on the mic.
Did you ever think that when the Nexus appeared, that he would be the last man standing?
Not exactly.
Between him and freaking McGillicuddy, Mr. Perfect's son, Joe Hennig. I mean, can you imagine? Those are the guys that are left standing.
I could have sworn McGillicuddy was the second round of Nexuses, because Bray Wyatt was in the Nexus. Does anybody remember that Bray Wyatt was Fat Dog Harrison or whatever?
Yeah.
Hot Dog Harris, right?
Husky Harris.
Oh, Husky Harris, right.
Husky Harris. And also Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan got,
Otunga resorted now to being an announcer, but everybody else is gone.
Otunga got the most, but who was the dude? He had the thing over his face.
Michael Tarver. Michael Tarver was the Black Ninja.
The Black, that was his name?
I don't know, but that's what he looked like with that cover over his mouth.
Yeah, he was really rough. Ryback was really rough. And Peter Gabriel, or whatever his name is, was good. Justin Gabriel was good. And Justin Gabriel, Hardbody Harrison was good. Husky Harris.
A.K.A. Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I never liked McGillicuddy. You know, I mean, Joe Hennig. I know he's nice. I just, you know, he's Kurt Hennig's son. Like, okay, so why the fuck should I care? Oh, it's not, you know, it's like when you, it's nice to meet your son. Oh, hello, Joe. Hello, Joe. Well, do you want to watch Joe wrestle in the main event? It's like, well, not really. I mean, he's just your son.
Well, they did a really bad thing to him by giving him a horrible name, and then they give him another horrible name with Curtis Axel. Still horrible.
Why don't
you just call him? You know, why don't you just call him Joe Hennig? I mean, why can't he just be Joe Hennig?
Or Bucktooth McGirt or something, you know?
Or Leroy McGirt.
That's a killer.
Yeah. How about getting him over? He's probably more over than McGillicuddy.
With
Bill Watts. And then Rhino. Yeah, Rhino is super over. But anyway, Heath Slater. Who would have known? He's the one that is getting... actually, folks, he's getting a huge push, Heath Slater, by not being drafted in this storyline. It's the comic relief, and every week he's going to get slayed by more returning veterans. Rhino gored him this week as Heath Slater is trying to get a job, and next week I'm sure Heath Slater is going to job again or get punished or hit in the face or whatever move that Shelton Benjamin's gonna do, like a top rope lariat or something like that, you know. So
he'll probably do all of AJ Styles's
and then
we need to have a talk in the back with you. Okay, who do you have? Oh my God, I just realized I can do AJ Styles versus Shelton Benjamin. I immediately take back everything about SmackDown. I immediately take it all back. I didn't realize I could do Shelton versus AJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the best Ring of Honor match you never saw in Ring of Honor. Benjamin versus AJ Styles.
Dude, they could, if they let them go, I didn't even know. So we have Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, which makes no sense, is on there. Randy Orton, the huge baby face. Cena's not even really there, even though he is, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're going to tell me that you're going to make Ziggler your number number five guy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck you. You've been jobbing him for 5 years. This is your guy's fault. Yeah, WWE, well, WWE writers, I mean, bookers, I mean, well, why did you do this? Now you want him to be over? Yeah. Why? Because he took a roll-up loss to Baron Corbin?
Yeah.
Really weird stuff going on. I was listening to the Nature Boys new podcast.
Yes.
Now, here's an interesting subject. And believe it or not, I'm not getting off subject right now.
Okay. No tangent.
Believe it or not. And he said, I don't think cruiserweights like Finn Balor really draw. I'm more interested to see Dolph Ziggler against Ambrose than I am to see Seth Rollins against Finn Balor at SummerSlam. Your thoughts on this controversial
statement? Well, both of them are fresh.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. I mean, that's what you got. Yeah, it's new. I like to see Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor versus Rollins will be a great, well-worked match.
Yeah, am I doesn't that sound great? Am I dumb?
Look, on paper, it sounds great. It sounds really good.
Well, nobody's going to draw anything to SummerSlam. SummerSlam is the WWE Network is what it is. It's not going to change it.
No, not at all. However, I think we will see some interesting talent debut, whether it's a new woman, which I believe will happen, and then we'll also have the debut of probably another NXT talent after their takeover event at the Barclays Center. So I think we can count on having two NXT talents kind of make their way. And I think we'll also see a couple more, maybe quote unquote free agents, make their way to the WWE between now and then. And that'll kind of round out the roster a little bit. I think we're going to continue to have enhancement talent. However, we're going to have more enhancement talent matches on Raw than SmackDown. SmackDown is going, I'd like to have them do at least one enhancement jobber match in that show.
Yeah.
Just over some of the newer guys, like the Apollo Crews in the world, people that they shouldn't have doing the job like The Miz, And Miz, I think, will probably end up losing his title to a returning Shelton Benjamin.
If you do your house show tour, you could do AJ versus Ambrose for the belt and then Rhino versus Horse Tooth McGurk.
Where do you think Kurt Angle fits in all this? Do you believe he will come back, or is that just a bunch of vapor?
Man, that Kurt Angle, man. Listen, man, Kurt Angle's a scary dude. I keep saying, he scares me.
But
they're
not going to hire him. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm real sure.
Like post, you don't think that he might come in during a Royal Rumble to just pop and then come in on a Monday night to a huge thing and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be in the, I'm going to have this one last run before I go into the Hall of Fame. What do you think?
No, I'd be willing to bet money that I got to stop betting, but
that's what the internet says. I believe you in saying that he's too loose of a cannon. I don't know that they've really mended.
He gets arrested once a year. His brother just killed his wife.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that, but I mean, it's not a good idea to get him. They don't want him. This is probably what happened. Okay. I think I know what happened. Triple H talked to him. He took a look at him. He's like, oh, but well, we'll get to you when the writers figure something out. Okay. And then he just left and he was like, he's still fucked up. Don't worry about it. Vince doesn't want him. Vince, he left 11 years ago. You don't think he would have been back? He's not going to have him back. Yeah. Sorry. It's just not going to happen. I'd rather see Jake the Snake come back and win the title.
Well,
because Kurt scares me.
Yeah. Well, we have a great promo of the week happening. We were going to talk a little bit about Lucha Underground. I think, once again, if you haven't caught it, you should. Ultima Lucha was a stunning 3-day event, folks. Hello, 3 hours. And awesome, awesome stuff. I am down with Ultima Lucha, and you should too. You can seek it out if you can. Once again, someone that I think might have some interesting stock if they decide to get him is Johnny Mundo, aka Johnny Nitro, aka John Morrison.
They tried.
If they ever decide to bring him back, he's got to dump Molina though, unfortunately. I think they might. There might be a little bit of heat there with Molina. I mean, and Molina is one of my favorites, by the way. I'm a big fan of Molina.
Not if you followed her on Twitter. She's, I don't know. Yeah, she's great. She's great.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Sorry. Hey, man, you know, we need to have her on the show some point. So let's be nice.
Melina, great worker, great screamer.
She's a great screamer. So please check that out if you can. And then we'll probably also do a report coming up too, not just with TNA, because TNA numbers are actually improving. Do you not?
No, they went down.
They go down less this week?
They went down twice now. They went down from 410 to 375 to 350. The final deletion got them into the 400,000s, which, you know, it's kind of comical. 4 or 5 years ago, that'd be such a disaster. But now it's, you know, it's all Matt Hardy for me with that show. I mean, and God bless him. He's come up with this incredible thing. He's going to be on Jericho's podcast. I can't even wait for that.
Well, like I said, you need to check out that. Did you finally listen to that that podcast where he stayed in character?
No, I didn't hear that, actually. I've been all worked up all week with stuff. Yeah.
When you do get a chance, you need to check out the Sam Roberts podcast. I'll say it again.
Well, I think he did the Jericho one as sort of a, you know, I think he probably heard that. I'm taking a guess here, but he probably heard that and wanted to do something like it. But he's continued to have great stuff. He tried to eat EC3 before their match, and he also told the Young Bucks that he would eat their feet so they couldn't do any super kick.
Nice. I like it. Our any other closing words? Because we do have a promo of the week this week by Mr. Cesaro, your favorite, your Swiss Miss, if you will, Mr. Uppercut Man. Hey, and the other thing too is, did you know that Benji called into the show? Benji Brown from America's Worst Cooks on the Food Network.
What did he say?
He called into the show and we talked a little bit about his thoughts on the new set, if you will, which will be nice. But any other closing thoughts on this show?
Not really. You know, anxious to hear what Benji had to say. He's quite a fan. He's a real fan,
man. Well, let's go ahead and hear what Benji had to say.
We're back on Pro Wrestling Cast with one of our very favorite guests and contributors, Mr. Benji Brown. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Oh, wow. I am reeling. 4 days of nonstop wrestling action. You got NXT, the Cruiserweight Classic, Battleground, the new era of Raw and SmackDown, and my head is spinning. How about yours?
Mine is too. I love the fact that they're doing so many different things with different wrestlers and actually giving these opportunities to people that I feel are long overdue and are well deserved of the opportunity. I haven't watched the last week of NXT, and I haven't seen the latest Cruiserweight Classic, but besides that, SmackDown, Raw, Battleground, like, I was shocked.
Yeah, so your initial thoughts on Battleground, I mean, that was a pretty awesome pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, from beginning to end, I loved the fact that they opened up with a women's match, and that there was not just one women's match, but there were two on the same pay-per-view, which is good. It's a step in the right direction. There's a lot of female talent that hasn't had the opportunity to shine just yet, and hopefully with the call-ups and, you know, Eva Marie, as much as I despise her, she has so much just
heat.
Raw heat on her. Yeah. Like, people just want to hate her. And then Carmella coming up and Bayley making her it wasn't even really a debut, but it was just
her guest shot. Yeah, it was her cameo guest shot, right?
Oh, I stood up and was so excited for her, and she was so over with that crowd. So once she gets pulled up to the main roster, she's really going to make a difference. But so just kicking it off was fantastic. And I'm a big Kevin Owens fan. That's extremely well documented. And I thought that Sami Zayn match with him and Kevin Owens was an easy 4.5-star match, if not probably the best match that I've seen so far this year. And I'm saying a lot, but the chemistry's been there for years, and now on the bigger platform, we're finally able to see that. So the finish to the main event was what I didn't think that it was going to go clean pin, but, you know, Roman Reigns messed up, and he's paying for it. So
how do you feel about that? Because I feel that, you know, and Steven and I are discussing this, is that with Roman Reigns, it just seems to me like they're really beating on him pretty hard, and the fact that you have someone like a Randy Orton who comes out Monday and Tuesday night and kind of bags on Brock Lesnar a little bit, you would feel it kind of also is kind of a you know, poo-pooing on Roman Reigns. Not to mention the fact that it's almost like the it's not almost. It is the pot calling the kettle black, because if you follow wrestling like Benji and I and Steven do, you know that Randy Orton got popped twice for wellness violations.
Yeah, I mean, Randy Orton is no angel in the sky. So for him to make that, I, of course, was like, oh, like the rest of the crowd was. But at the same time, like, you can't, you're right, it's the pot calling the kettle black. It's he went through it, everybody makes mistakes, and, you know, I feel that Roman Reigns has already gotten what he deserved out of this. Yes, he messed up. Excuse me. Regardless of what it was, he messed up. He owned up to it. There were no excuses. At least I didn't hear any excuses from him. Correct me if I'm wrong. But he fully owned up to it. I feel like he's paid his dues as far as kind of getting dragged through the mud a little bit with certain interviews and it kind of being brought up into a storyline before the three-way happened at Battleground. And then a clean loss and then another clean loss on Monday Night Raw. I think they need to stop burying him that hard, you know, because if not, they were so gung-ho about making Roman Reigns the next face, and that's fine. Roman Reigns is improving. I'm not a Roman Reigns hater, but you can't bury him too much, and I feel like if they do too much more to him, that's exactly what it's going to do.
Well, if they bury him too much more, you know, I think you're right. He has taken his medicine, right? And yeah. I think he's loved the taste of the medicine, and now I think it's time for you to let go a little bit, because otherwise you're going to have another Cody Rhodes situation, and then Roman Reigns will just leave, you know?
Exactly.
Because what's going to happen, you know? I mean, you're going to leave. I mean, he is, regardless of what you think he's great or not, or whether you like him, his wrestling, or his character, we know that he can go. I've been on record, and I think you may have too, is that the Lesnar Reigns match at WrestleMania was really damn good.
It was very good. I had very low expectations for that match, and it really helped put Roman Reigns on the map. He's really improved. I mean, he's improved somewhat on the mic. He's improved greatly in the ring, and I feel like that if they are pushing him to become the next face when John Cena's all said and done, then they need to stop now, because this is a crew that's going to be watching him on TV in the next 2 years, and if they get rid of him or push him too far down the card, we're not going to look at him as a main event player anymore.
No, so. He's going to be Umaga is basically what he's going to be regulated to, the U.S. Championship.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, which is not a bad slot, but for someone to have been elevated to such a level, to fall off at such a rapid level is like, it's absolutely crazy. It's hard to build back up. You can build back a Rusev after his devastating year of stop-start, and they're finally starting to get back. But having said that, the brand extension happened with the draft and everything. What are your thoughts on how Monday Night Raw, and if you were able to see SmackDown, how it was able to shake out? Because I've got my 2 cents on that.
All right. I feel that and I think I posted, I can't remember who. I was talking with somebody. There's women on both Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I get that. But what are the women actually going for? There's no top goal. What I'd like to see is a women's tag title put into play on SmackDown to give the women something to fight for. I feel like there's really good talent on Raw and SmackDown both. I kind of wish that they would have kept the entire Wyatt family together. That kind of bumped me a little bit. I wanted Braun to stick with it. I thought that he was, you know, making a name for himself. And I'm not saying that his squash match wasn't good on Raw, but at the same time, it's just being associated with Bray Wyatt, you know, and Eric Rowan with the Wyatt family really put, you know, Strowman into a position where he was a main man. And now, like, what is he going to become? Is he going to become the next Ryback? Like, is that what's going to happen to him? And I don't want that to happen to him. I don't want him facing two people at the same time and then knocking them out and having, you know, 2 minute squash matches every week. It didn't work for Ryback. So I'm more worried about Braun Strowman, I think, than anybody else in the draft. I like the fact that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are on the same show, because that's just going to continue the rivalry a little bit. I feel like Kevin Owens was drafted a little bit later than he should have been, but that's all going to be in the storyline, because Kevin Owens is all, you know, I'm the next big thing, I'm trying to build myself up, and so that's just going to play into the storyline. So I think that was a smart move that he was, you know, drafted so late, but you know my love for Kevin Owens. But
oh, of course.
But as far as the draft goes, I feel like it was a pretty. I felt like it was good. I didn't feel like, you know, I'm not disappointed really by anything other than the fact that Braun Strowman got pulled away from the Wyatt family. Honestly,
I really think it's intriguing what they're doing with Heath Slater. I really, you know, I see this happening, and not, you know, you mentioned Bayley's. We mentioned Bayley's kind of cameo, her secret guest performance, if you will. And I feel like that's going to continue, and I think it's going to continue on SmackDown in order to pop a rating. You're going to see some more draftees. We saw Rhino come into the fold with Heath Slater. Heath Slater is going to be the jobber to the stars, as he was before, because he is so dynamic and fun, and I think this whole angle of him being the forgotten draft pick, which is a lot better than Mr. Irrelevant, which I believe they're going to turn into Mr. Perfect probably before too long. But I do believe that we're going to see other people kind of pop in and pop the rating. And I would, you know, I don't know if they have the depth to see a female tag team division, but I do I do believe that you're going to see some people pop up, and I do believe that there is an opportunity to have co-branded events or cross-promotional events, if you will, where Raw and SmackDown does get together for super shows on Sunday where they can vie for the same title, which they did not explain, and we were thinking that we're going to get an explanation about how the title picture was going to look in terms of tag team, maybe even cruiserweight, but obviously it's exclusive to Raw now and the women's division. But I do believe we're going to have those interpromotional happenings. So while the women are still battling for first contender, you know, contendership or whatever it is, that they can go in on a cross-promotional pay-per-view, and it's not going to be Backlash, but something like Survivor Series. And then all of a sudden, the women are into a mix where they can bring the title home to SmackDown or keep the title on Raw. Same goes for the tag team titles.
And see, that was nothing that really, that never really crossed my mind until you just brought it up. And I think that maybe that's because I'm a long-term fan and always been conditioned that, you know, back in the day, the world title was on Raw and the WWE title was on SmackDown, you know, or, you know, there were two different tag team titles for both shows. I never even really thought about that. Like, I didn't think about maybe, okay, well, at Survivor Series, we're going to have an interpromotional four-way match and we're going to have a battle royal for the SmackDown, and the final two get to go in the final, or, you know, go into the four-way match, and then we're going to take the champion from Raw, and then we'll find a way to get that number one contender in. And then I never really thought about that, honestly. So okay, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I think it's just the way that I was conditioned growing up. But
we all were, and a lot of people haven't even mentioned it. You know, I listen to podcast after podcast. You know how I am with podcasts, and I listen to them, and they're not even bringing that up as even a remote idea, and even some of the biggest pundits haven't even thought about it. I'm like, interpromotional is something they've always wanted to do, not only to bring subscribers up, but also draw more attention to both brands. And I think it would be really cool. You're going to have your first, I guess, interpromotional match with Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton at SummerSlam. Let's say down the road, you've got Clash of Champions, which I think would be an awesome opportunity for it to be a cross, you know, promotional show. You say the same goes for Survivor Series. Same goes for Royal Rumble. Obviously, WrestleMania. You know, we have options there for people so that the brands can intermingle and determine the fate. Where does the titles lie? But of course, that wasn't addressed on television. Nor was it addressed on television why certain aspects of NXT, performers in NXT, weren't called up. You would think, you know, losing credibility in the storytelling is my problem, because you would think as a general manager, you would want to draft the champion of NXT, Samoa Joe. You would want to draft
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, you would want to get the number one contender, Shinsuke Nakamura. You'd want to get someone like an Austin Aries. You'd want to get someone like an Asuka who holds the women's title, or the tag team champions. Those would be immediate, but you didn't even address it, and I don't believe they addressed it on TV this week. Like, oh, well, William Regal has plans for these type of stars. We've already pre-sold tickets and events, so these are the out of the ones that are ineligible, these are the ones that are eligible, you know?
And they could have even just simply said, you can draft anybody from NXT, because they said, I think they said they were going to bring up six. And correct me if I'm wrong, they brought up seven, didn't they? Which
They brought up
something a little bit different.
I believe they did bring up six. I heard initial reports being five, then it was extended to six. So you have so you have Finn Balor, you've got American Alpha, as one unit. You've got Nia Jax, Mojo Rawley. Who else from NXT was drafted?
Carmella.
Oh, Carmella, yes. My girl.
Eva Marie. That would make
Eva Marie was not listed as NXT talent. She's listed as main roster talent.
That's what threw me off. I thought that Eva Marie was okay.
Yeah, she is like, she's very much in the same way as like anyone that did cross promotion with NXT, like a Rhino or Cesaro or a Natalya.
Gotcha.
They were, yeah. Or I guess Zack Ryder for that matter. So it was a very interesting situation to say the least. Well, your final thoughts on this week's TV, because we had new sets, you had a different look, you had a different feel, a different theme songs, and different announce teams. So what are your thoughts on those TV shows for this week?
You're probably going to hate me for saying this. I'm glad Jerry Lawler wasn't on SmackDown. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I only watched about half of it. He didn't do the commentary on SmackDown, right?
Oh, yeah. Lawler has been relegated to the pre-show with Booker T.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I'm glad he's off. I feel like he's been losing, like, what's the word?
He's dated.
I feel like he's not as quick on the feet as he used to be.
Yeah.
So we know what he's going to say. Like, we know how he, you know, I like the fact that Corey Graves is on Raw. I think that's fantastic. And I'm glad they kept, and I can't remember his name. The one that was on SmackDown before, who's there now, not JBL, the other one.
Are you talking about, Michael Cole used to do SmackDown.
Right. No, the one with the really deep voice that knows all the moves, like, just is on point with his commentary.
Oh, the guy that's doing it now, Mauro Ranallo?
Yeah, that's who,
Oh,
I
okay.
I remember his name. He's fantastic.
Oh, he is.
So glad he's still there on SmackDown.
You know what I love about it? I love the fact that his pop culture references are on point.
Yes. and I don't know if people are feeding those to him or not, if he's just on his game that much. Like, he's impressive. He's impressive. He makes me more excited about watching a match. It could be a very low card match, and I'm all like, yes, I'm so into this.
Yeah. He does have a lot of that energy, and that's why everybody loved him coming from New Japan, because he definitely made New Japan, an experience to watch was, his commentary. So,
yeah.
Did you like the fact that SmackDown didn't have a stage?
Yes, I did, actually.
You did?
I liked the differences. I liked the new logos. I liked the entrance themes, the intros for Raw and SmackDown both. I wanted something different to separate the two, and I was like, I told Andy this, I'm like, either we're going to modify the stages and one's going to be completely different than the other one, or one's going to be gone. So I hate it from a standpoint where you're in the crowd and you want to take a picture and you may not be able to see them come out. But I feel like on TV, separating and trying to make both entities completely different, I feel like that's a good move, is getting rid of the stage on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Personally, what I liked most about everything, besides the new logos and the new intros, was the camera shots.
Yeah.
There's a lot of new camera angles and stuff that are being used. And I feel like that's really positive as well, because I feel like I've been watching the same show for 6 years. It's hard for me to differentiate watching a match from 2012 and then watching the same people in 2016, because everything's the same.
I agree.
So
they needed this shakeup. They really needed it. And a lot of the presentation they've gotten from mixed martial arts and football, which I love. I love the fact that the announcers are standing. I love the fact that Shane and Daniel Bryan started from the back, and the emphasis was what's happening in the ring is the most important, and not on what goes on stage, which is where a lot of the Raw segments are shot from the stage. So I really dug it. And even though, to me, there was a lot of stuff missing in terms of the internal logic and the narration, which I believe they need to tighten up for it to make sense to people that want to make sense and don't want, I think it's not the fact WWE that we want things to be, that we want things to make sense, because we do, but we don't want anything to take us away or leave anything out that would take us out of the time, because you want to be lost. Like Eric Bischoff says this all the time, one of the most intelligent men in sports entertainment, whether you like him or not, he says, You don't want anything to take you out of the moment and living that moment and being in there and feeling and seeing what's going on, whether it's selling or it's a promo or something. You want to be fully invested. And when things don't make sense, it takes you out of that narrative that they're trying to set up for you. So everything you've spent time and time building gets thrown away because there's doubt or something left wrong. Where, you know, like that Darren Young match on Battleground, you know, the whole time you're like, what the heck just happened? Or last Monday Night Raw, where there was that Fugazi match at the very end with the world title, and everybody was like, what the hell's going on? You know, you're like, that totally ruined it for me. And then, of course, you find out later they retconned it, but yeah.
Yeah. I think what they're missing too, and what they need to get back is a reason to tune in next week.
Right.
They don't announce any of the matches that are happening next week for the most part. They don't have any really intertwining. Yeah, we know that, you know, Seth Rollins hates Dean Ambrose. You know, we knew that, you know, but there was nothing. I feel like the storyline has been very second grade-ish, you know? Like if you remember 1997, 98, 99, they would leave you off the air and something would be crazy going on, but there'd just be a whole big thing. Like, when Paul Bearer was like, Undertaker, you're going to be with me. Your brother's still alive. And you're like, oh, shit, his brother's still alive. And, you know what I mean? Like there's nothing like that just tying me in. Like, yeah, so I want to be there. Like, I'm going to SmackDown on Tuesday. I have no idea who I'm going to see. I don't know any of the matches. I know the basic storylines, but there's nothing that I'm like really, really, really excited to go see. Right. So I feel like that's something they really need to get on track as well. Make us want to tune in next week. Make the people who just happen to be flipping channels and be like, oh, I watched wrestling and I saw Hulk Hogan in 1992, and then you're like, oh, like, hook those people in. Like, that's something that I feel like is missing. But I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
You seemed like you were disappointed about the stage being gone from SmackDown. Is that true?
A little bit.
Yeah,
I miss it. It's no. I mean, I understand where they're going with that, and understand. It's just for me, just the production value. It's hard for me to equate SmackDown as being an equal brand as Raw if there's an element that large missing.
And I do, and I was thinking about that as well, because if you think, like, even if you just look at the stage, it puts those wrestlers on a higher up podium. And mm-hmm. psychologically, if SmackDown comes out on the floor, you're like, it kind of psychologically makes you think Raw's the better brand.
Yeah.
Or the bigger brand, or they right. have the bigger stars, or, yeah.
Or it looks like an indie show. Yeah. And it's like, I'm like, oh, come on, folks, really?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not ECW. And yes, we have a bunch of Trons going and you have the LED lights, but I'm okay, you know. That's just my personal preference. I can as a wrestling fan, you know, much like yourselves, like you can kind of see where that's going and kind of and say, well, even though my personal preference is I don't like it, I'm willing to give it a shot and see where it goes, right. Because I'm really open-minded. I think this new era is good for the business. We've needed it for some time. The Universal title announcement, I know, was all about merchandising, you know, much like this whole brand extension. Vince McMahon said on the conference call with stockholders and shareholders today that really it's all about licensing opportunities and how to better leverage those for more, you know, for more money. Really, that's what it boils down to. Can you imagine now they're going to sell a separate SmackDown ring, different stage, different title belts, you know, different action figures and different things like that. So that's really what it's all about is leveraging those things, and hopefully they'll get it to pop a network subscription, because right now they've announced what 1.5 million full-time or 1.5 million subscribers to WWE Network, where they really wanted to shoot for 3, especially with emerging markets in India and China. So
yeah,
you know, they really got to get their stuff together and come up with, like I said, like, yeah, those hooks.
This is the first step. This is a lead into hopefully what they'll be doing, you know, more network specials, which they are because of the Raw split. If I saw the schedule right, they're doing a Clash of Champions. They're doing a Great American Bash. They're really extending it. So I think that's an opportunity. It's funny when they announced the Universal title, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, what's the point?
It's also the parent name of NBC Universal, right?
Exactly. And I was like, I get it. WWE Universal title. Like, yeah. I get it. But at the same time, like, Well, Andy was angry at it for another reason, because I own the big $400 NXT belt, and I own the big $400 WWE World Heavyweight Championship
and
belt.
Now,
so he was like, damn, now that's another $400 belt you're going to go buy. I was like, probably. So that works in the merchandising, you know, whatever makes you more money. Of course, I'm going to go get it. That's me. So
that's right. That's right. Well, it's all good. So, work once again, thank you so much for your time and talking to us about your thoughts on the brand extension and the new episodes of Raw and SmackDown in this new era. And you can count on Benji to tell you his truth. What is your Twitter, where people can follow your social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at Benji Nashville. I really don't post on there, but I'm the same on Instagram and Facebook. It's just at Benji Nashville or Facebook.com/Benji Nashville. And I post a lot of wrestling stuff and selfies at the bar that I work at, you know.
Right. There you go. And you're also a big fan of Super Nintendo stuff, because, you know, we got that new mini NES coming out for the Christmas, and I know you're going to get that.
I have already pre-ordered mine.
There you go. I figured there you go. I knew it. They have a mini Sega Genesis announcement too, so I think I'm going to have to get both of those and put them in my office.
Yeah. Me too.
It sounds great. All right, go catch some Pokemon, and we will see you next time. Benji, thank you for joining us on Pro Wrestling Cast.
No problem. Thanks for having me again.
Okay. Well, I can't wait for Benji to come back on the show.
I can't believe what he said. It's incredible.
Well, Benji, thank you so much. Don't forget to follow him on Instagram at Benji Nashville. And don't forget to follow us, too. Steven, where can people follow you on the old Twitter?
Dr. Deathmark, the last Universal Wrestling Federation title holder. He beat the Big Boss Man in Oklahoma City, baby.
Well, you know, if you are, you know, just so you know, I am the Ultimate Wrestling Infinity Championship. I own the Infinity Championship, and that means that I will have it for all time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, regardless of what Broken Matt Hardy says, regardless of what a Ambrose says, regardless of what a Mr. McMahon says. I am the Infinite Championship. Infinite possibilities. For all time. For all time.
We forgot to mention also last week that when Jeff Hardy had his Bloody Mania match, that he took a life-size cut out of El Dandy that he thought was Eddie Guerrero, and he pointed to the sky and said, "I miss you." That's so funny. Like, El Dandy's not dead. What are you doing?
I didn't see that part.
It was Chris Benoit and El Dandy.
By the way, I got a message, I think, from Benji. And it was hilarious because I call it Crispin Wah.
Yeah, I follow Crispin Wah on Twitter. He's really a good follower.
Hilarious. Yeah. And it was airbrushed over Roman Reigns saying, Roman Reigns push circa 2012 through 2016.
That's awful.
And on there, and then had all the WWE superstars. And instead of Roman Reigns, they actually airbrushed Crispin Wah on it, which was
hilarious. They're going to keep pushing Roman Reigns.
Oh, man.
just wait. They'll start pushing him around Survivor Series.
Watch. Just so you know, here is Roman Reigns' push. There you go.
Oh, that's fucking awful. Why would they do that? No, that is in poor taste.
But what's even better is look at who's standing where Roman Reigns is, right next to Shane.
Look at that. That is awful.
I could afford that.
Who would put that up there? Did he make that, or did he find it?
I don't know. I think he forwarded it to me. Regardless, that's funny.
And the G1's been pretty good still, and I've been watching more matches, and the G1 rules.
Well, and we'll talk about that, because they did finalize the card for not just the G1, but they also finalized the Super J as well.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. So a little lackluster,
but
a little bit.
Whatever.
It still should be good wrestling action. If you're fed up with the Fed, the WWE, the universe, as it will, move over to the other side of the universe there and check out the Super J.
And we're anxious to see Mickey Gall strangle CM Punk Phil Brooks coming in September.
Yes, it's coming in September. Once again, follow us at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter. You can also follow Pro Wrestling Cast on Facebook. And of course, for all of your shopping needs, Amazon, WWE Shop, also T-Blocks, Magical Journeys Vacations, and
and did I say high spots? Yes, ProWrestlingCast.com. You can also follow me at Aljon Rocks and at Jedi Musketeer on Twitter.
Another one more shout out. One more shout out.
Go for it.
You know, the new big star of PWG. The Space Cat.
I like the Space Cat.
Yes, he actually wrestles.
By the way, Pro Wrestling Gorilla available on the Fight app. So check it out. F-I-T-E. Space JR, you owe us. You owe us some. You need to get on our show for 5 minutes at least to talk to us about the Fight app because, once again, JR owns into it. So thank you so much. Yeah. Enjoy it. Yes, he is part owner of the Fight TV app, which is great. Used to be the Flip. Used to be the Flips app, which Global Force was on, which was awesome.
He's got that much money. Good for him.
Okay. Yeah. So having said that, once again, don't forget to tuck your head. Enjoy these words and comments from a Cesaro during the WWE draft where he doesn't give a damn about the authority figures in wrestling. He just cares about the in-ring product, which is great. So we're going to take you to Uppercut City. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head and we will see you next time. On behalf of Stephen Anthony, I bid you adieu. Nick Bockwinkle for life.
Promo of the week.
Cesaro, you were drafted in the 6th round to Raw. How are you feeling about all of this?
Well, first of all, not too happy to be drafted, you know, as was it 17th in the 6th round. I have a feeling that I should be drafted a little bit higher. I was hoping to be at least top 10. And then, you know, just looking at the rosters and what the GMs talked about yesterday, how SmackDown is going to be the wrestling show and, you know, all about in-ring product and, you know, all about the superstars and not necessarily about, you know, the GMs and that whole drama. I feel like I would have probably be a better fit for SmackDown, but just like in my career so far here, I figured there's always you know, a little stumble block and whatever I have to overcome. So you know, I'm looking forward to be on the flagship product. That's trying to see the positive being on the flagship product, the WWE Raw, and you know, that's where Cesaro belongs.
Well, speaking of GMs, how do you think that our the Raw general manager Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon being the commissioner, how do you think they'll coexist?
Honestly, that's part of the problem that you just asked me that question, because I don't really care. I think Raw going forward needs to be about the superstars. It needs to be about the performers in the ring and not about how Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley coexist. They need to be there to mediate and make the best show, but that does not need to be the focus. So the focus needs to be on the superstar who got drafted. You know, we have Seth Rollins, we have New Day, we have Finn Balor coming up from NXT. Those are the people we should be here talking about, but we're talking about Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley, which is annoying to me because a lot of people talk a lot, you know, it's always a lot of talking, and you haven't heard me talk that much. It's actually great. I can be able to talk and people can see I can actually speak, you know, my brain can form thoughts that come out through my mouth. The problem is sometimes I stumble words because I speak 5 different languages. We know all that. So the thing is, I like to speak the language that everybody speaks all around the world. WWE Universe loves. That's the language of wrestling that I do in the ring. That's what I do best. That's why I always deliver. Cesaro on Raw.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at PWrestlingCast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.